How are you this morning? I told you there was a time my answer was, life is good. Why did I used to say that? I had just read, oh God, I studied the word of God that filled me up to here. So when you say, how are you? That was my real answer. Life is good. It had nothing to do with what I had. The answer was founded upon the revelation, that is the understanding of the word of God. So I said to you, life is good. So I don't speak my own word. That's what he said. It can be a lifestyle. You talk about the economy, you talk about your life, you talk about things. What is God saying? Now I'm bringing an issue here. That's the Sabbath of God. That's one of the operations of it. But there's a second side, which is very crucial. Christians, one, you must sleep well. I'm trying to get into it now. After a particular time, my computer must be off. If I'm not sleeping, don't think that what is a bad thing you stay up doing at night. Most of the time, I'm writing a sermon, uploading a message, checking something on our website, checking things like that. That's what keeps me awake a lot of times. I say, even that one is not good. You hear what I said? It's not good. God gave us 24 hours in a day. You can't make it 36. Let me tell you the truth. If you try to make it 36, you will succeed though. Except that the extra 12, you are collecting it from your future. I know what I'm saying. If you are, let's assume you are 30 now, you can't collect 12 extra hours every day. If you're supposed to live to be 100, they are taking it from the other end. So after you have lived like 5 years, in which you have collected 2.5 extra, your longevity has dropped to the other end, from to 98.5. So you are catching up with your day of death very rapidly. There's a hard work. Listen, the Bible says there's a time for everything. I tell believers, that your phone, quench them for night. What if somebody wants to call me at night? What are you? Fire service. Before the days of GSM, were they not surviving? Business can come anytime. The business that doesn't come when you are awake is not your own. He said, Pastor, you said we should put off our phones. The man said he called me yesterday. After 10, he was calling me. My phone was off. By 6 this morning, got tired. He called somebody else. And that business was like 35 million. Now I have lost it. According to, what's his name? P-Square. Ole Buruku. This is what you are. You want to take somebody else's job. It's not your own. If he gave it to somebody else, it was that person's own. Don't cry over it. If it was your own, the guy will call you back next day. It's a believer's mentality. Sabbath rest. Say, no. I can't stop working. If you don't go to this work, they will just finish the business for you. Any business that's like that, that 24 hours you must be there. Otherwise, you finish. God didn't give it to you. He didn't send you there. I don't care how much money you are making in it. They are helping. They are using your future. You understand my point? Your days of as an old man. Now they make person sick where they old. The life force don't finish. He finished the life force when he was 45. All the days he's living after the age of 45. Now, is the what Solomon, the Moses called days of labor and hardship. When Moses was lamenting, the days of our life, 70 years, and then if by strength, 80, is that all those days, they are sorrow. That's what he meant. We have struggled and labor. We don't sleep. That's 6 o'clock. I don't mean that. I meant 4 o'clock. We don't wake up. 12, we finally go back to bed. You do that for a few years. Believe me, you are not a blessed man. You are not a blessed woman. You are walking under a curse. I don't care whether you are living in Lagos or Port Harcourt or Abuja. I don't care. If you live in Lagos, there are those who bless people in Lagos don't even wake up on time. I hope you know. It's all these suffering and struggling people that wake up like that. Those who are really blessed, they don't wake up like that. I told the story of one of my friends. He lives, my wife knows what I'm talking about. He lives in Ikeja, he's been everything. Big guy, big. One day, his company left their head, took the headquarters from Ikeja to the island. He told them, this is the amount of money you add to my salary. You give me a car, you give me this, you give me that. They said, you couldn't do it. He resigned. He said, I am not going to be commuting from here. I said, unless you guys want to go and hire me a house in VI. This is the amount of money. They said they couldn't. He left them. Set your eyes on things like that. Don't say, this Lagos, there's opportunity. Opportunity. You can't sleep. Because you're looking for the opportunity. Anywhere you go in life, make sure that you can sleep. When I was in Lagos those days, I used to help people say, I don't go anywhere. You come to loot, you will find me there. If I'm not there, I'm in church. If I'm not in church, I'm there. If I'm not in office place, then I'm not in town. I traveled. I'm looking at an issue. Christians must sleep well. Amen? It is not the will of God. In fact, if you pray all night very frequently, you must have committed something. Why is it that your own prayer cannot be heard during the day? Why? You must be a sinner of some sort. No, there is, because we know some people, you know, churches, you know what we do a lot of times. We do all night on Friday night and sleep all day, Saturday morning. So I said, listen, why don't you just sleep when you're supposed to sleep? Then rush out 6 o'clock on Saturday, come to church and pray till 12. But you know, we had this all night. You know, that's when the devils are outside. We have to moderate the activities of the devil, traffic controller of devil, you know. He has to go out and check the traffic. You know, that's when traffic is heavy. I hope you're... I'm talking about Sabbath. Are you getting my point? A Christian must have a sabbatical, you know, some of what I'm trying to say there, attitude towards life. No hustle beyond a certain time. Somebody said, please, oh, we have to see. What is the business about to land? When? This night. Say, no, I'm asleep. Ah, you are not serious. I'm very serious. If you call this number again in 5 minutes, I'll put it off. And you know, just by the way, you know something about business. What they say is now is a lie. Most of those na lie. No, you have to make a commitment now because somebody else is asking for it too. Say, give the other person. If you don't want, and call me back by tomorrow. Then they will come back by tomorrow. It's just because of previous relationship. That's why I'm just calling you back. I knew you were going to call me back. All this time they do me shakara. Get away, my friend. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm talking about the sabbatical attitude. I'm explaining something. So, the principle of Sabbath is what I'm talking about. Let's go back to those people. They ministered to God. They were ministering to God and they were fasting. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, a believer, get what I'm saying? Apart from this general Sabbath attitude towards life, I was saying that you must also take time out. I got sidetracked back into that issue of taking rest. I said, one, you must rest regularly. Secondly, you must take a time. Now, then God gave a commandment to believers, to the Israelites, not to work 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. That was weekly. But let's not even try and stick with a 24-hour everyday rule. Now, as an example. All right? A Christian, however, must regularly take time out. Now, let me say something to you. When you are very busy and very, very busy, that's where I'm getting to all of these things, you find it hard to decipher the rima of God. That's what I'm trying to get in all of these things. Why do Christians fast, therefore? That's what I'm saying. Fasting is what people think is about hunger. It has nothing to do with hunger. In fact, you know, I say this, people laugh, but I actually mean it literally. If you start on your so-called fast and you have to rebuke your stomach from feeling hunger, it's a waste of time. Go to your fridge and use the God-ordained instrument for rebuking the stomach. It's called a slice of bread. It's the bread of life. Pour a glass of water. There's nothing unspiritual about it. Chew the slice of bread, drink the glass of water, go back. Listen, you will have, even the demon of destruction will not be able to worry you at that time. It is not ungodly what I have told you. You know what I'm saying? So, a lot of people, why they still say, no, it's because you think it is your hunger God is examining. And I'm teaching you today that it's not your hunger. You have come there to receive what? Rima! Hey, you've gotten my point. Hezekiah is sick. God is a healer. Okay, now that God has said he will not die, what do we do now to get rid of this one? So Isaiah said, all right, wait. I'm just trying to paint a picture of it. And God said, this is a sign of your faith. This is how I'm releasing my power at this time. Make a cake of figs and put it upon that. Let me tell you the truth. If they did not make that cake, and Hezekiah, even though he did not die, he would have had a sore for many years to come. Why? They missed the rima of God. Ken Hagin said something in one of his books. He said, he used to have a feeling, and how I couldn't hear that angel, I don't know. That an angel, he didn't know it was an angel, but There are times he looks, somebody's around. You understand? And he checks, there's nobody there. Let's make a long story short. Then one day the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And he saw there was one guy standing on one side behind the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. So he was giving me instructions, so he would look. Anytime he looks in that fellow's direction, the fellow will open his mouth as if he wants to talk. Now, please get something here. I'm telling somebody's experience, but I want to show something from the scriptures. And this applies to me. I must hear this. My wife must hear it. All right? Who else should hear it? Olayinka must hear it. You must hear it. Israel must hear it. No, Israel has heard it, in fact, a lot. Yeah, and Yinka, they went for Wavbeck. All right? So they heard it. All right? Now, all of you must hear it. Everybody must hear it. I particularly must hear this. All right? Just listen to this. Please, give me a few extra minutes. Let me just finish this. He said that the Lord will be talking to him. And anytime he looks in the direction of that guy who was standing behind the Lord, the guy will open his mouth if he wants to say something. Then he will look away. And the fellow will keep quiet. I don't know. Get my point. Assume now, you are the Lord Jesus Christ standing now. There's this guy on your side. So you are telling me things. Anytime I look in this man's direction, he will open his mouth to start saying something. Then I look away. Then you continue talking. After a long time, you say, now the Lord, say, who is that guy? And why is he always opening his mouth when I look in his direction? He said, oh, that's your angel. He has a message for you from God. Now, I don't want to go into details because he said the first question he asked is that if he has a message for me, the message came from God, why are you not giving it to me direct? So they had a small discussion about that. But the point is that spiritual things have an order. That fellow had that message and the Lord Jesus wasn't going to tell him. You either hear that guy, you won't get it. There's a reason why I'm telling this story. Because go and check when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt and Daniel tried to interpret the dream for him. When Daniel began to speak, he said, while you were on your bed, your thoughts turned towards the things that will happen in the future. You don't know me sometimes. If you don't pay attention in a particular direction, you don't hear anything from that direction. I don't know what I'm going to explain. That's why Christians fast too. Sometimes they're not trying to impress God. We go looking for instruction. As a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, that's what I'm talking about today. He said that man, that a number of things, but in that particular situation, the man started giving me instructions. There's a man who's contacted your ministry. He wants to help you with this. He said, don't agree to work with him. The man is a crook. So that angel gave him a number of instructions. He said, you know many stories, now I don't want to mix things up, but he said there was a particular time, angel was supposed to give him an instruction, he did not listen. Do you know it cost him financially? The thing cost him money. That is, he was supposed to make certain changes concerning the way he did ministry. He did not. And the ministry had serious financial crisis afterwards. Why? The instruction for then, he didn't hear it. Fasting is important. I told you once, before I got married, I needed a lot of money. Then what simply happened was that I was sharing the word with my wife. We're not married then, all right? But I was just sharing the word with her. And as I was preaching to her, I was hearing the message. I just knew I was preaching to myself. I was praying from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct people to have faith in God and not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. As I was teaching, I finished preaching. I said, this message is not for you, it's from me. Because by that time, every little dime I came across, I saved it up because I wanted to get married. And the Lord said in simple terms, you are not trusting me. You are trusting your own finances. So instruct them to be generous. So next day, I broke that habit and began to be generous. Did God give me money? No. You know what happened? I went to see a friend of mine. And listen to this. The rima of God was simple and straight from his mouth. You don't need money. So what do? Tell your in-laws you don't have money anymore. So I wrote a letter to my parents-in-law that I don't have money anymore. It's very funny. That was what I did. I still remember the words I used. I said, I'm financially exhausted. Those were the very words. It solved up. After that, nobody said, there's this one you're supposed to do again. My wife and I, and then we never talked about that letter till tomorrow. Whether they read itself, it's only my wife knows. But the instruction from God was clear for me. Listen, there are times, the problem you have had, God will, listen, and those things are not written on the pages of the Bible. That's the point. The only time you get to know them, the only time you get to hear them, are you getting where I'm going now? Is that fasting season when your thoughts turn. And one of the things God does for you in life is to beckon. If God beckons like this for 10 years, you don't stop to look and listen. You won't hear him for 10 years. And listen to this, you'll be on one spot for 10 years. One spot. You ain't going anywhere. The next sermon I want to write is to explain to people that a single act of disobedience stagnates you no matter the amount of knowledge you have. You can know the Bible cover to cover. You can preach from now to tomorrow. If God says, I've told you, anytime you want to preach, stop saying, is somebody happy there? As an example. And you say, no, this is how they do it in America. All right. It's very simple. You have all the knowledge on earth, all the instructions. God will not broadcast your voice. 40 years later, if I realize that, why am I always saying is somebody happy there? All right, those who need to be healed of sadness today, the first day you say it, the whole world will hear it. Say, why didn't I say this for 40 years? That angel will tell you that, you know that this your shoulder is always scratching you anytime you say somebody happy there. It was me trying to catch attention. You know, you always have this itch there. You want to scratch. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. I hope you're following what I'm going to say. That is, listen, what we need is what? The rima. There's a scripture I like to read. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, from your youth you have known the holy scriptures, which they are hopeful to make you wise unto salvation. I preach a message like a wisdom of salvation. The scriptures make you wise. Then they give you one instruction concerning your life, concerning your business, and it turns your life around. You can say, don't talk to your husband like this. Don't treat your workers like this. Don't do your accounts like this. Are you getting my point? My emphasis today is that you don't hear that word unless you turn to look. Go and read the story of the burning bush. I said, God beckons. Go and read that story. I don't have time to be opening to it, but go and read it. The moment the bush began to burn, the moment Moses saw the bush burning, the Bible says that he turned to look, and that when God saw that he turned to look, he began to speak. Are you getting my point? That if you saw the burning bush and said, hey, burning bush, and disappeared. That's it. No instructions, nothing. But what God did was to stir up his curiosity. The guy, look, this bush is not burning. There's fire on it, but it's not burning. What kind of fire is that? He moved closer. He began to inspect. Listen, that distracted him for once from sheep, from that pain that has been on his hip. He removed all his attention. Once he was focused on the bush that was burning, then God said, now we finally got his attention. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That the problem, you know, prosperity itself get problem. Suffering, get problem. There's nothing we not get problem in this. Some people are so occupied with their suffering. Every prayer point, they are occupied with the problem of suffering. Some are so prosperous. As they wake up in the morning, the phone don't ring. How many trailers? They don't land. Where? Who? Which custom? I'm coming. He's just waking up. The wife says, honey, how are you? I'm coming. You don't need wear trousers. What is it? I'm coming. Then he comes back home. No, he calls his wife around 12 o'clock. Sorry. Baby, please, I'm so sorry. I hope you took children to school. I'm coming. Then he comes back at 12. Don't mind them. We paid all the duties. They stopped them at nightmare. We've settled the matter. No, I'm a child of God. I will never give anybody any money. But the whole day has gone, hasn't it? That consignment made in like 20 million. Next morning, I was waking up. How are you? He's greeting his wife. Phone rings. How many of them? You haven't paid them? Why not? Oh, the check. Okay, I'm coming. He has gone again. When he gets back home, he's tired. Falls down. Falls asleep. Wakes up in the morning. Oh, Father, we worship you. This business is doing good. Hello? Oh, they have come. All right, I'm coming. This is the annoying part. Most of our churches these days, Sundays are under social activity. Yes, it is. Under social activity. First service, 9 o'clock. Everybody filing. Choir has their cue. Boom. Everybody. Oh, you dance for 15 minutes, then worship. You are worthy, oh Lord. Then somebody comes, preaches to you for 40 minutes, checks the time. Everybody close. Men, wait behind. Couples, wait on the other side. About to marry, on this side. If you have children, that side. By the time you get back home, of course, from there to ShopRite with the children. By the time you get back home in the evening, it is 6 o'clock. You are tired. You finally cross your legs. Say, oh, that thing we bought since yesterday, we don't watch them. No. Put them. Every day, one angel is doing like this. Excuse me, sir. Hi, sir. Hi, sir. Hello, sir. Every day, one angel is doing like this. Hi, sir. Hi, sir. Pastor, yeah, the boy told the story. I didn't hear it directly. I heard somebody talk about it. Once he was flying, he flew abroad. The pilot now says, sorry, we can't land. Why can't we land? The undercarriage won't come out. The flying, oh, undercarriage, come out, not a lie. It took the engineer on board 2 hours to release the tire. Now, this is what he said. This is why I told the story. He said he just prayed and said, Lord, well, he just prayed a very calm prayer and all of that. And the Holy Spirit said to him, in effect, I didn't hear the whole story. That so he now took those 2 hours to pray and meditate. And the Lord said to him that, you see, these 2 hours is only 2 hours you have. Once we land, welcome, Papa. Welcome, Papa. This one needs counseling. This bishop here needs to be talked to. There's laying on of hands. There is preaching. So the Lord said, hey, angels, hold that undercarriage. Because this man will soon die at this rate. So they held the undercarriage. The pilot circled because Jonah. Jonah took the flight. Who wouldn't agree to rest when he was supposed to rest? You are too busy prospering. Sometimes it's a problem. That's why Christians fast. When we have problems, therefore, you say, this problem, we have to fast about it. Listen, let me tell you something. If you rebuke something, in Jesus' name, come out! It doesn't come out. Maybe it's not the problem. It is God himself that's saying, come close first now. So when you rebuke it today, it not go. You anoint them tomorrow, it not go. It's okay, you have to first praise God. You praise God over it, it not go. Finally, leave it. Say, God, well, let's see. Then you now turn aside to what? Look. That is the word. You turn aside to look. Then when God sees that you have turned aside, are you getting my point? Then he can now begin to utter the instructions. Separate for me this part of your house, this part of your business, this part of your life for the work that I have commanded it. You understand? That I have created it for. For example, there are those who will say, henceforth, no business before 9. And you know, Satan overhears when things like that are happening. The next day, the juiciest business will come at 7:30. But they just told you, no business before 9. If you obey that instruction, you realize that business was a joke. The ones that will come later. Many businesses are on one spot because the fellow, the man, the woman has not been able to settle down and get instructions for what is supposed to be next. Many ministries are on one spot because the man is very busy. He's always preaching, so he feels he's working. You know, many preachers, they don't invite them tire. You know, musicians, that's why they burn out sharp, sharp. By the time they invite you, they said the Shino Peter has played in, that's when Shino Peter, you know, Ijo Shino, you remember Ijo Shino? Okay, if you were not born that time, go and ask those who were born. But the days of Ijo Shino, he said Ijo Shino played 360 days or 62 days in 1 year. Have you noticed that after Ijo Shino, there was standstill Shino after that? Oboy disappeared after that. I tell musicians, no matter how popular you are, tell yourself from beginning, 3 weeks in a month is maximum. After that, we know they do. In fact, 2 weeks. Another week, we are in the studio. Then the other 1 week, we are not doing anything. Will they go to church? Will they relax? We don't do anything. It's the only way you will endure. It's the only way you won't be on one spot forever. It's the only way you will know how to stop circling this mountain and turning northward. I hope you are getting my point. It's the only way. That is what fasting is for Christians. That's what it is. That is what it is for believers. It is not how to punish my stomach to ensure that God sees that I'm really suffering and answers me. It is the time. That's why I said at the beginning, you cannot set a limit for it. It's a 30-day fast. No. I'm not saying it can be, you will not say, okay, for the next 20, until we get an answer, we're not doing anything again. But you can say definitely, until we get an answer, this is the restructured life we are going to live. And listen, God will answer. Are you getting my point? The Lord God will answer you. How does he speak different ways? My story I told you was a friend that spoke. Are you getting my point? Now, hey, my time is gone. Let me drop this if we can't finish it. Just for 5 minutes, please. We're not up to 5 minutes. Different people have had different ways. They have heard different ways of how you minister to God and wait upon. But that's what the Bible calls waiting upon the Lord. When he said that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me talk about that briefly. That word wait. People say to wait of God, upon God means to be fasting, to go hungry. Literally what that word wait means. I heard RB Time analyze it. He said it means, we call it time, we can't talk about it, but what he was saying that is the sense that of a rope. A rope that is twisted, that to make a rope strong, you twist it, you take like three and twist them together. That what that word wait there in Hebrew meant was that whoever depends on the Lord for strength, are you getting my point? Wraps himself on the Lord. Let me add my words. Wraps himself with the word of God. That's the one that will renew his strength. It's not the man who goes hungry and thinks that he's serving God in what he calls fasting. People have talked about different ways of waiting upon God. Sometimes they cross their legs and meditate. Now, what I want to say is not doctrine. It's not gospel. What I mean, like, it's not hard, fast doctrine. It's just personal experience. Are you getting my point? I'm not good with that. Some people say they go pray in tongues until their spirit is quiet. It doesn't work for me. Amen? I'm not the pretender. Some say when they want to wait on God, they can pray and pace for a long time. Some will kneel down and pray. It doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for you. I tell you, it's not a doctrine. Even though I know I'm influencing you with what I'm saying. But I'm not saying it's hard and fast rule. Personally, if I have to do that, what I have found most effective is simple. I take a Bible and read. I take a book and read. I take messages and play. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. This is one thing I find. It happens to me all the time. Let me give an example. I say the year has come to an end, and I feel I've preached. You know, if you are in my shoes, you understand. If you preach twice a week, three times a week on average, you understand? There are times you go preach, you know, say, I don't have any other thing to preach again. I've preached everything that I know. But you know what I found about me? I used to worry those days, in quote, worry, and I'm like, maybe nothing to preach again next year. Not lie. Just give me one weekend in which, not be prayer, you know, someone say, Father God, I need new revelation. Let the world begin to comfort. Anointing must increase. It's good. I don't need that kind of prayer. I just need a season in which I don't preach, but I listen to somebody else preaching. Sometimes they don't even have to say anything yet. They just get up and say, what I want to preach to you today is from the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. I have a message for the next 1 year. The man hasn't said anything. He has not said the word. I have been in a place where the man wants to preach. Open your Bible to Psalm 1 and his whole message for the day is suddenly in my head. I'm not kidding about that. I want to show you today something from the book of Psalm 1. As open to Psalm 1, I don't know yet. Something just connects in me. I say, wow, this is like this. Then the man starts preaching. Everything he's planning to say. I heard it in the first 1 minute. He had not said anything more than open your Bible to Psalm 1. I have noticed, therefore, personally, I want more revelation. All I need to do is turn in a direction and look. I don't know whether I get my point. I just walk to my shelf, pick a few books. What matters at certain times is that I'm rested. My mind is turned in a particular direction. You know why? Because that revelation is actually always flowing forth. It's whether I'm paying it attention or I'm not paying it attention. That's why Kenneth Hagin said that the angel, and then he looks like the angel would like, he wants to start talking. Then he's like, why are you talking to me? Then he looks in another direction. The angel keeps quiet. I hope you got what I've said. I said, let me draw that for a few minutes. I want to stop now, all right? How do I wait? How do I minister to God? How do I fast?
That's why I told you that it differs from person to person. But whatever way it is, you must understand that as a believer, you are not trying to please God with your self-abasement. You have understood that without that rhema, I may not leave this spot where I am for the next place where I'm supposed to be. So we make it a habit regularly to set time aside and focus. And then when there's crisis, you don't rebuke today, it will not shift. You anoint tomorrow, it will not budge. It is God calling you. It is a bush burning. He's trying to get your attention. Then you now set time out. That's why you can't say it's a 5-day fast. You can just take the initial 5 days to do excessive focusing, but your mind is constantly tuned. Why? You are looking for the specific instruction for your life to move you in the next direction. And what the devil tries to do, what life, let me not even say devil now, tries to do, is to keep you so occupied, you can't pay attention to here. I hope you've gotten to my point for today. I hope you've learned something. I hope what I said is clear. All right, make me happy and say